Welcome to the teaching podcast of Wellspring Church in New York City. We are a community that seeks to live in the way of Jesus and hope that you will be encouraged by today's teaching.
Hey everybody, how are we doing? Good morning. Happy 4th and all of those things. We're so glad you're here. My name's Patrick. I'm one of the pastors at Wellspring. I am the worship pastor, which means a lot of the time I'll be up here with the team leading worship. But today I get to just open God's word with all of you. I am so excited to do that. And, you know, being a worship pastor, I've told this story before, but I heard this story of another worship leader who once came out the same way, you know, Landry and the team a few minutes ago came out to lead. And they threw out one of those like rhetorical, like, are you excited to be in the house of God this morning? We say that all the time, stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about? Top of the service. Hey, you know, are you excited to be in the presence of God? Are you excited to worship this morning? And then he turned to continue, like, you know, starting the first song with his team or whatever it was. And he heard someone shout in the back. He said, are you excited to be in the presence of God this morning? And someone shouted in the back, no, that's your job. Can you feel like how gross that would be if that actually happened, right? Like now, kudos to the dude in the back. I assume it was a dude. Yeah, dude in the back, like a question was asked. He was honest. Thank you for responding. But obviously, that's not the point of why we're here, correct? Like church is not a performance. We're not meant to be like siloed off doing our own things. Like worship is not reserved for the worship team. It's for everybody, right? Like understanding, studying, sharing scripture is not reserved for the person who's teaching on a Sunday. You know, caring for one another, pastoral care, it's not something we should only wait for a church to do. We are all the church. We are all in this together. Amen? Like if you've been at Wellspring for a long time, yeah, we're in this together. If this is your first time here, welcome. We are in this together. The stuff you're facing, the stuff you're walking through, the stuff you're struggling with, the things you're hoping for, we get it because we're all in this together, which is good because today we're talking about service. Yay! Yeah, okay. And I just want to say right off the bat that it's important we understand we're all in this together, especially when we're talking about service. If any of you, for any reason, think that when we talk about serving, service, if any of you think that what we're talking about is you making Wellspring great, that ain't it. That's not what service is. And don't get me wrong, I think that like plugging in, getting involved, joining a team, even at Wellspring, I think all of these things are great. I have seen marriages birthed out of two people who said, hey, let's help out on this team together. Well, you're nice. You're nice. You're not ugly. You are also not ugly. I've seen, you know, a few years later, I'm at that person's wedding. I've seen it happen. And all the single people are like, yeah, so is there like a QR code for Teams? Or like, is there a link? I've seen it happen. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Service and serving are so much more than just joining a team and making like whatever church community you're a part of get through another Sunday. And let me be honest, if you actually hear the word serving and you've been a part of the church for a long time or part of like nonprofit work or anything like that, if you hear the word serving and it kind of makes you like tense up a little bit because you've had bad experiences somewhere where you were maybe used or abused or maybe just never thanked or ignored all in the name of service, that's not okay. And let me be even more honest. I get that feeling sometimes. I've had some less than ideal experiences in the many churches. I've led worship since I was 13 years old. I've been at multiple churches, multiple denominations, some in a staff role, some in a volunteer role. I have seen some stuff, and not every serving or even staff experiences that I've been a part of has been just great. It's tough at times and not always done well, but I still believe we should commit as the church to a life of service because that's what we see all throughout scripture. We see beautiful examples of people laying down their lives for someone else. And if I could even go one step further, that's happening here too. Like some of you have experienced someone setting aside their preferences, setting aside their time, their resources, and saying, hey, let me bless you. Let me help you. Let me encourage you. So as we dive into who are you serving this morning, I think serving is a beautiful thing. Sometimes it's tough, but I still think it's worth us going after because of all of those reasons. Amen? All right, we're done. Let's join a team. This will be great. Everyone gets married. Amen. Okay. Years ago, I was a part of this church program, this course or this class where we were all learning what our spiritual gifts were. Everybody familiar with like spiritual gifts? Yeah? If you're not, feel free to ask questions later. Like spiritual gifts like administration, craftsmanship, miracles, prophecy, all the cool ones are over here, right? Healing. And part of this course, we took tests and surveys to find out where our spiritual gifts were or what our spiritual gifts were. And part of the course, like as we were studying and taking these surveys and taking these tests, we were supposed to call a few friends and be like, hey, when you look at my life, tell me what you think my spiritual gifts are. Kind of scary, but I was excited. I could not wait for all of my friends to reach out to me and be like, Patrick, you have the gift of healing. Patrick, you have the gift of prophecy. You know all the things. Patrick, you have the gift of like words of knowledge. Has anybody here heard of words of knowledge before? Thank you, only Demetra. Great. The pastoral staff, no. So, you know, we're fine. Words of knowledge is defined by the supernatural ability to receive specific hidden information from the Holy Spirit about people. We're gossiping with the Holy Spirit. Best day ever. Best day ever. That's what I wanted. I wanted someone to reach out to me and be like, Patrick, you have the cool gifts. Have you ever been here? Have you ever wanted to be one of the cool ones, one of the cool Christians? Well, it's never happened to me. Tell me if it happens to you. That'd be great to know what that's like. I imagine this world where I would be like a words of knowledge guy, where I would get on an airplane, sit down, someone would sit beside me, and I would look at them and see like on their forehead the word like, you know, famous or rock star, and I would look at them and say, the Lord has sent me here to speak to you. Across, you don't know this, but across your forehead, the word pop star or rock star is here. You are going to become famous and use this platform to bring glory to God. I wanted that for me. Years later, in this imaginary world that I'm currently painting in front of you, I would receive, only Olivia laughed, thank you. Years later, I would receive a phone call from someone being like, is this Patrick? And I would say, well, yes, it is. Who is this? It's seat 14A. From years ago? Yes, from years ago. I want you to know that I did become famous. I'm a millionaire. Maybe I'll share some with you. But I have used my platform to share God's glory with the world. And I'm forever grateful to you for using your amazing gift to help me do this. Your friend, Bono, goodbye. Like, that's what I imagined. That's what I imagined. So as my friends who I reached out to tell me, like, hey, tell me what you think my spiritual gifts are. I was ready for it, right? They began responding. And there was this one guy that was really important to me. It's a big part of my story. And I respected him so much. I couldn't wait to hear what he had to say about my gifting. And he sends me three voice notes via text. And I'm like, ooh! And I, you know, put the headphones in, push play. And literally, he said, hey, man, I'm going to share with you what I think your gifts are. Thanks for reaching out to me. Number one. You're not gonna like this. The gift of helps. That was my reaction. Like, yay, thank you, Lord. I was so like, if I'm honest, kind of let down because the gift of helps is a spiritual gift. It's described in the Bible as a gift that enables certain believers to provide practical support and assistance. It is characterized by a humble, joyful desire to serve behind the scenes, lightening the load of others so that their ministries or daily lives can flourish. No flourishing for the help person, flourishing for everyone else. When you hear words of knowledge, healing, prophecy, it's like there's this mystical, cool feel to it. And when you hear helps, don't you just kind of go, cool. But, and I'm not saying this to be like, look at my helping everyone, but that's been my life. Like, my story, like year after year, season after season, I keep finding myself in these like supporting roles doing pretty practical stuff in the church. And it's put me in all sorts of situations where I've been surrounded by other people who are supporting the work of others behind the scenes, sometimes quite literally rolling out the red carpet for others to encounter God in some sort of space where they feel safe, secure, and even honored. I've had this front row seat almost my whole life to see service played out in the most beautiful ways by some of the most beautiful people. And truthfully, I've honestly seen some of the ugliest versions of service as well. You hang around the same spot long enough, you're gonna see the good parts of it, you're gonna see the bad parts of it. And as we move through this morning, I just wanna make a couple of things, I wanna recognize a couple of things. Number one, I think everyone should learn what their spiritual gifts are, but giving up your time or your preferences or anything else for someone else is not something we have to, like me, wait on a survey result to do. Like, we can all right now set aside some of our own preferences and love the people around us. We don't have to wait on a call from God. Be nice to people. I will. Like, we can just do that immediately. You know what I'm saying? It says in Romans 12, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. We don't need to wait on a call from the Lord to serve others. The second thing I want you to be aware of, if serving, volunteering, or helping in any way becomes harmful to you, that's not okay. I know that some of you have experienced that. I have. That's not okay. I didn't say that serving should be easy all the time. Sometimes it's difficult. I did say, though, it shouldn't be harmful to you. There's no part of me that wants us to walk away thinking that you need to like overcorrect in your life when it comes to who you're serving. That God wants you to join teams or give away your resources or time to others in order to help them while you're exhausted, under-resourced, or being harmed. It's not okay. It's never okay. We, the people of God, the church, we have to do a better job of finding healthy balance where we are, like pouring ourselves out on behalf of others the way Jesus did for us, even when it's difficult at times. We've got to be better at that. But we also have to make sure that we're in a place of health, getting the rest and sustenance that we need. Like if we're doing one without the other, we're missing the point. Amen? Amen. So with all that said, helping, serving, humbling ourselves, this is not just like a good idea that like the modern church came up with. This is a biblical kingdom principle, and we see it in the earliest versions of the church. You guys ready? Let's look at Acts 6 really quickly. It says this. It's the earliest versions of the church. It says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. What? In a church? No way. Yes, it happens all the time. Then it says, the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 disciples called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. That hit some of you the wrong way. Stay with me, okay? Or I should say this. I'm not going to put that on you. That hit me the wrong way the first time I heard it. So I'll stay with me. Whatever. Here we go. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer teaching the word. So let's pause here for a second. It sounds, when I first read it, I'll use I statements. When I first read it, this sounded to me like it was arrogant and elitist. It seemed like the disciples were saying, we have to teach the word. Send so-and-sos over there to take care of this lesser problem, which could not be farther from the truth, in my opinion. If we pick up in verse 5, it says this, everyone liked this idea, which, by the way, never happens. I would love if we could take a part of the early church and put it into Wellspring. Can everyone just like the ideas? That would be great. I'm only half kidding. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following, Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, and other names that I don't know how to pronounce. What that first P name, how do you say that? Nailed it. Prochorus. That's what we're going with. Okay. They picked all these guys, and these seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. This is for just feeding people. And then it says, so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. So what we see here, we can get tempted to go like, hey, wait a minute, are they just sending the underlings out to do that? No, what we see here is good leadership, acknowledging a problem and saying, hey, if I try to do this myself, it's not gonna go well. I'm not gifted at this. Who's going to be able to step in and help these people? And if you don't read this passage carefully, it sounds like because of their preaching and teaching, because of the apostles, the gospel spread far. But I want to argue, I think it's because of the preaching and teaching of the apostles and those who stepped in to use their gifting to feed those who were hungry. That's why the gospel spread far. It was individuals stepping out and saying, I can help with this. Let me help with it. Great. Let's pray and make this a reality. Because haven't we seen enough movements, especially in the church, crumble simply because they're just built on whoever the superhero, big-time famous Christian is at the moment? We cannot always just rely on someone's ideas to sustain a movement. We can't just rely on good teaching to sustain a movement. I want there to be a move of God in New York City. It can't be sustained just because someone writes good worship music. It has to include everyone, everyone's gifts, everyone's talents, everyone's, if I dare say, helps. Now, don't worry. Today, we're not going to put like a list of teams on the screen and you have to sign up. You're not a Christian or anything like that. However, I will say this. It is encouraging how much this type of living, sacrificial living, is happening within our four walls. Whatever the four walls of Wellspring are, this stuff is actually happening here. Regular New Yorkers, just like you, are pouring themselves out to see the kingdom flourish in our church and outside of our church and in homes and in schools and in places of work. And if we want to just talk about like what happens in this room every Sunday, it takes a lot to put together or to pull off what we do on a Sunday. It really, really does. Like, wasn't worship incredible this morning? Thank you, Landry and Chris and the team. I mean, these guys are volunteers. And they don't just show up and go, oh, what are we playing this Sunday, guys? Like, this has been Landry and Chris and Jaden and Dale. This has been their week planning, prepping, and like saying, God, what do you want to use me to do this Sunday morning? Through those double doors, there's a kids team of volunteers that cares deeply about our kids knowing Jesus. Back there in the tech booth with Matt, look how handsome he is back there. Matt, everybody say hi, Matt. He hates this, so sorry. Those guys with Matt, they're volunteers. They're just giving of their time. Autumn and Olivia, they regularly take people to the Bowery Mission outside of Wellspring for those who are less fortunate, down on their luck, unhoused, to feed them and lead worship for them. This stuff is happening here. And it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging. A while ago, just a couple other testimonies. A while ago, I reached out to our worship team, and I'm the worship pastor here, and I said, hey guys, I know that every Sunday we meet for rehearsal at 7:30. I think we need to come earlier. Not for rehearsal, I am so sick of the 30-second, God bless this day, okay, all right, let's get these songs right, prayer. Guys, can we just take an extra 30 minutes and pray together? We've got to do it. Before we step on this stage, can we just get in a little room somewhere and pray? Here's what I said, every Sunday, guys, I know it's even earlier. I'm going to be right in that nursery right there at 7 a.m. before anybody gets here. I'm not going to step on stage until I have consecrated myself before the Lord and asked him to come and do, not just bless what I've planned, but to come and do what he wants. And if he wants to use me in that, I'm happy to be there. And I'll be honest, I invited our team, and no shade to them, I was fully ready to be by myself in that room every Sunday morning. I have never been alone in that room. And yes, team, I've taken sneaky pictures every single week. So sorry. I hope all these pictures are appropriate. Anyway, our team shows up every Sunday at 7. You'll watch them walk in. They'll walk in, Dale will like just drop his guitar right here and then go right to that room and say, God, what do you want to do in this place? Before I do that, I want to do that. And here's the thing. When we get in that room, we are not praying for good sounding songs. Do you know what we're praying for? You. Every single week, we're in there going, hey, God, before people even get out of bed, would you begin to encounter them in a tangible way? As people are walking here, that person that says, I'm not going to come this week, maybe it's for them. Would you get them out of bed, Lord, and bring them here? Did anybody feel that this morning? Great. How encouraging. We're in there praying for you. That is service. That is service. And speaking of prayer, I mean, this goes beyond Sundays. You know, every single Sunday after we teach, there's like a prayer team up here that's like, hey, if anybody wants to come forward for prayer, we're available. But did you know that our prayer team exists outside of Sundays as well? We have this a team of intercessors that we call the Wall. I didn't name it. I just want to say that. I didn't name it. I reached out to our prayer leaders. I said, why do we call it the Wall? And they said, well, the Wall is a wing of our prayer team that prays specifically for our church outside of Sundays. Each member commits to one day a week to fast. That means not eat. Ooh. 1 day a week to fast, pray, and ask what the Lord is desiring to do in this season for these people, for this church, and for the city as a whole. Together, they form a wall of intercession so that no day passes without our church being covered in prayer. We also have, at Wellspring, we have a compassion team. If you've had surgery and someone drove you home, if you received flowers because of a promotion, if your family grew, like, you know, you had a baby and someone said, hey, let's organize a meal train, it's almost always our compassion team that does that. No one asks. They just decide to be the first responders to anyone in need, anyone celebrating, anyone who needs someone to come alongside them. That is service. And no shame intended. This is actually an exciting thing. I want to ask, like, hearing those stories, hearing those testimonies, when you hear about those teams and those people, is there one of those teams, one of those services that like kind of makes you burn a little inside where you're like, dude, I could do that. That's my heart. I do that on my own. There's a team for that? Is there like does your heart kind of burn within you when you hear about some of that stuff? Because we, and by we, I mean the church, Wellspring, we don't want to just build systems and structures. We don't want to organize the best Christian club New York City has ever seen. I would love it if Wellspring ran like this well-oiled machine, but if we stop there, we've missed the point. We want all the systems and structures and avenues of care we're fostering to point our attention to the one who says, cast all your cares on me. We want everyone in this room involved in what God's doing here, and not because we need to fill spots on a roster. It's because every person here has been, if you're a follower of Jesus, everyone here has been given gifts from the Holy Spirit. And we want to use those unique gifts that are in this room. We want to put them on display, not to point glory to us, but to point glory towards God. Everyone here has unique gifts. You guys remember COVID? Yeah. During that time, like a lot of other churches, our church did like digital church, Zoom, that whole thing. And our kids ministry did too. And I will never forget the day that I was walking through my living room and one of my sons was on one of those kids ministry calls. And the teachers were talking all about spiritual gifts, like we are kind of right now. And they were like, talking all about it and explaining, because we don't believe that there's like a Holy Spirit for big people and the kids can do this down here. No, the Holy Spirit's for everybody. And they're like, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have gifts. And they were talking all about it. And they said, does anybody here know what their spiritual gift is or spiritual gifts are? And it was like, understandably, really quiet. And then finally, this young man raised his hand. I'll never forget this. And they said, oh, you know what your spiritual gifts are? Would you mind sharing with everybody? And he's like, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna unmute you, sweetie. What are your spiritual gifts? Upper body strength. Same. And I just remember laughing, but also being like, heck yes, dude. Like, yes, you come lift some chairs. I don't know. He was so calm. He's like, upper body strength. Everyone here, even if it is upper body strength, everyone here, well, Samson. I'm just now, Samson, upper body, yes. you know, and lower, also lower. We're all, don't skip leg day, Samson. So sorry. Everyone here has gifts, and those unique gifts, again, are not meant to point glory towards us, towards Wellspring. It is meant to lift up the name of Jesus. And why do we want this? Why do we want to why do we want to point our glory, point the glory to God and say, hey, this is what heaven kind of looks like? Because that's what Jesus did. And don't we want to be like Jesus? Not a trick question. Don't we want to be like Jesus? It's not easy. It's not easy, but yeah, we want to be like Jesus. Philippians 2 says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So if we want to talk about service, who is the ultimate servant? Jesus. And when we talk about service, like Philippians is kind of like way down the line in the Bible. We see service all throughout Scripture before we even get to Jesus. Can we do like a quick Hebrew lesson? I'm going to do it. I don't know why I asked. I'm going to do it. When we talk about service in the Bible, the Hebrew word avodah, jointly means work, worship, and service. And the various usages of this Hebrew word are found all the way in the first book, Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 15, where the word avad is used. Everyone say avad. Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work, to avad it, and to take care of it. Now, the usage of this Hebrew word, I promise I'm going somewhere with this, the usage of this Hebrew word is strange because there's other words we would normally use in place of avad. One of them is bara. Now, bara means to create. In the beginning, God created, bara. So bara deals with the action, God created. But avad deals with the direction that action is pointing. We all do things for a reason, unless you ask my kids, why did you do that? Why did you break that? Why did you eat that? It's poisonous. Unless you're my kids, wow, that went right over there. The parents were with me. Unless you're my kids, we all do things for a reason. And we see this word avad that is not just an action word, but it's like pointing to something. Like bara would be, I made a meal. But avad would be, I made a meal for my family. I want to see them sustained. I want to see them fed. There's intention. There's direction. And in some verses, the word avad means like to work, to do common labor. Exodus 34, 6 days you shall avad, work. But in other verses, avad means like to worship, like your work is worship to God. We find this in Joshua 24. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Not just we will serve the Lord. Everything we're going to do in this house, we're going to do all we can to point out the glory towards God. And this is important. That's why I said earlier, we want every unique gift in this room on display, not to fill rosters, not to make our church big or make our church cool. No, we want every unique gift in this room on display to show God's glory. As for this house, we want to serve the Lord. Amen? See, this is an important, in my opinion, this is an important shift. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, is telling us that God's original design and desire is that our work or service isn't just work. We're constantly pointing, in whatever we're doing, we're constantly pointing back to God. And it makes us ask this question, no shame, no guilt, but is that us? Like, is our avad pointing to Jesus? Or are we just working hard to get by? Are we just working to glorify ourselves? if all of us, which I believe we are, I'm just like you, if all of us are hardworking New Yorkers, if we are avoding, not even a word, but if we are like avoding, working, pointing our worship towards God, our service towards God, or sorry, if we are just working, where are we pointing it? Hopefully towards God, sorry. There's this song by Bob Dylan that's called, it's literally called Serve Somebody. And I think, this is not scripture, these are lyrics to a song, but I think it kind of paints the picture of what we're doing here. It says this, you may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. Hello. You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barbershop. You may know how to cut hair. Hey, we've got a hairstylist over here. You may be somebody's mistress. You may be somebody's heir. Still, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're still gonna have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. I've told this story before, and it's wildly embarrassing. I started my worship leading career at 13, and eventually my first job at a church, I was a middle school worship leader, where dreams are made. And one time I walked out and the band was behind me. This is how old I am. We were playing the song. I remember the song. We were playing the song, Not to Us. Anybody remember? Not to us, but to your name. Anybody? Someone raise a hand. Okay, thank you, Olivia. High five. And I walked out in front of all of these kids, middle schoolers. And I said, hey guys, tonight you have two options. Not to us. You can worship God or the devil. Not to us. I thought that I was the preacher of all preachers in that moment until I got off stage, walked up to one of the vocalists and said, did I just tell a bunch of middle schoolers that they are Satan worshipers? And she goes, yeah. And I was like, really would have liked some comfort in this moment, but thank you for your honesty. We are all serving somebody. No, that was a mistake. I'm not saying that today. Like what I said to those kids, please don't ever say that. But we're all serving somebody. Have you stopped to ask yourself, all this stuff I'm doing, I'm so busy, where is it pointing? Who am I serving? Where am I avoiding? If someone analyzed your life without judgment, would they look at your work, your service, how you spend your time and go, yeah, this guy, man, he's pointing the glory to God. There are plenty of places in my life where that probably wouldn't be the case. And before we move on, I just wanna say this. This doesn't mean we need to stop and start working harder. Like, this isn't the like, hey guys, buckle down. We've got to work. We've got to sweat more. I cannot leave without saying that sometimes service isn't about doing more. Sometimes it's about stopping. Sometimes it's about doing less or turning certain things off in your life as opposed to piling more on. Remember, one of the first commandments that God gave the Israelites when they were freed from Egypt was this, Exodus 20. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. So immediately, second book of the Bible, we're getting these commandments, or they were getting these commandments, and immediately God is giving them their work, their avad instructions, but he's making sure that their intent in working is directed at him, but he's also commanding them, hey, but your rest is important as well. So important that it's a commandment. Rest is not separated from our service when it comes to pointing the glory towards God. Rest is not separate from our avad. There are so many things in this city that are going to compete for your attention. And so many of them are good. But don't forget to serve the Lord by stopping and resting. Can we all just take a collective breath? And then out, if you're running and running and running and thinking, I am working for the Lord so hard, where is this rest that I'm promised? I think you need to rethink some things. I think you need to rethink some things. I know I do. It would be a wonderful thing if we all found ways to like serve people inside and outside of this body of believers, but don't just work your fingers to the bone. It's not gonna make your reward better. It's just not.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our church community at wellspringchurchnyc.com.